8 minutes after 8 o'clock, Talk Radio 570 KLIF. Last for the show, I'm Daryl. Paul O'Neill.
Yeah. I'm a loyalist. Yeah, wait until I tell you what this bum has to say. Not so sure about that guy. Plus a little more on good old Howard Dean and a dog attack right here in our own backyard. All of that to come this hour. Talk Radio 570 KLIF. I am Daryl Ancarlo. This is Ancarlo Mornings. All right, so I told you the story a few weeks ago, and then I told you again last week when I had Bob Schultz on from We the People about Richard Simcannon. He was up on 29 counts out there in Fort Worth for tax evasion and fraud and all that fun stuff, right? He was convicted on Wednesday. Well, we tried to track down Bob Schultz because if, and I'm doing this on this hour intentionally because this is when you and I discussed it with Bob Schultz because he was explaining how we don't have to pay income taxes and he had all these rules and regulations and laws and how we just don't have to pay them. And then a lot of listeners started emailing and calling me saying, I haven't paid income taxes in 20 years, 30 years or whatever. And Bob Schultz said Simcannon would walk away with a slam dunk. This was a no-brainer. The guy was going to get off. Yikes. This guy, if the judge and, you know, all the sentencing guidelines are followed all the way through, this guy goes to jail for the rest of his life. Arch McCall is the lead attorney for Richard Simcannon. He's agreed to come on for a couple of minutes. Arch, welcome to Ancarlo Mornings.
Thank you.
Good morning to you. Were you surprised?
I was disappointed. Once the jury was instructed by the judge that they didn't have to see evidence that he was required to file an income tax, they were just to take it for granted and only decide whether his failure to file was willful or not, and that's defined as whether it's in good faith or not, then I became pessimistic because, you know, that was an issue in the case. That was our defense, that he had studied for 5 to 7 years. He was an engineer, a by-the-book guy, had built up a very successful engineering company. Over a 20-year period, had paid millions of dollars in taxes on the assumption that he had was required to do so. In his study and conferencing with Bob Schultz of We the People, who's he got on their website at givemeliberty.org and looked at their information and conferred with them after they had had a presentation on CNN with tax professionals and ask some very serious questions about the proof, and I thought that he was in good faith. The question was not whether he was right or wrong, but whether he acted sincerely and in good faith. He was not able to find the statute that required him to pay taxes, though he did testify that in certain industries, had he been in different industries, such as petroleum refining or alcohol distilling or the sale of tobacco or firearms, et cetera, that he would be taxable and would pay the taxes.
But not in this industry. And when you say he, are you talking about Richard here or
Simcannon.
Bob? Simcannon saying those things.
Correct.
All right. Now, with that in mind, as you mentioned, that was the heart of your case. Did you or did you not bring expert witnesses to the table to talk about the various rules and codes and, you know, laws regarding voluntary versus involuntary taxation?
Well, we did, but we were extremely limited by the judge's rulings about the extent to which he allowed us to go into things and explanations. So we didn't get nearly as far down the road.
But you were able to put it forward, though, right, Art?
Somewhat.
All right, now, if you're able to put that forward, and, you know, again, you're the guy in the courtroom on a regular basis. I'm paid to ask the questions.
Right.
You're in there making your case. You've used limited capabilities based on what the judge rules. How does a judge have the ability then when he instructs the jury, oh, by the way, that information that you heard from the expert witnesses, discount all that stuff because it doesn't matter. How do they get away with doing that?
Well, that's one of our points on appeal, and what makes it significant particularly is the note from the jury that came out saying we find no proof or heard no proof that he was required to withhold. That was another part of the allegations. He didn't withhold Social Security or Medicare because his research led him to believe that there was no mandatory requirement to participate in the Social Security system or to have a Social Security number, and therefore he did not feel that he should withhold. He also had been bothered for many years just from a religious standpoint because he felt the first fruits of a laborer should not be, should be up to him, the laborer, as to what to do with those and not be taken by government. And finally, his research showed him that the definition of income was gain from labor or gain from capital, not one's own labor. In other words, if you go out and hire 10 people at minimum wage and you bill them for twice that amount, then you're going to have a gain from their labor. But that you do not, that labor is your property, this was his research, and that you cannot be taxed on your property because that would be a direct tax, and the income tax is an indirect tax, as all the Supreme Court cases say.
Arch McCall with me, lead attorney for Richard Simkanin, found guilty 29 counts. I guess he was off on a couple of the minor issues, but the major stuff, he got slapped pretty hard.
He did.
All right, so with that in mind and everything that you've just described, it sounds like you've got a pretty strong case for appeal, but this guy's been sitting in jail since June or July of last year, hasn't he?
That's correct.
And he's got this huge industry, or has it shut down now?
It's just about shut down.
It is. So he's on the verge of bankruptcy with that.
Which was part of our evidence of his sincerity and good faith, because the moment he started taking this position and became known publicly, the customers left him, and his business started going downhill fast, and yet he persisted in it where he could have stopped being public about it and, you know, taking some other course of action, but he didn't.
And I guess that's another part of the story there. He was willing, he said, you mentioned his religious background, he felt like he was morally wrong for not paying taxes and not withholding taxes unless he was willing to come out of the shadows and tell everybody. So he was one of a few names in a national newspaper to say or to take the position of not paying taxes, correct?
That's correct, as to him and for not withholding.
Right.
Yeah, and as to the limited things that he did, and he, you know, he supported them through his research, and he was just a real plotting. I mean, he's an engineer. He looked at it in a very logical fashion,
exactly.
Step by step.
And the scary thing here is Arch McCall with me from, what's the name of your firm, Arch?
McCall and McCullough.
Gotcha. Taking care of the Richard Simkanin case, I'm Ann Carlo on 570 KLIF. The other part of the story here, a lot of the people in the courtroom and holding up the picket signs outside haven't paid income taxes for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and when reporters would walk up, they would gleefully say that, but then, okay, what is your name? They wouldn't give their names because they're hiding in the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they know that there's, you know, a legal liability, and,
yeah.
And Simkanin stepped forward and was very courageous in his view about, you know, the issues. So I had to think that the jury would find him in good faith, but the judge also failed to instruct on good faith, which the Supreme Court says in tax case only. It's unique in all criminal cases that ignorance of the law, if it's a good faith ignorance, is a defense in only tax cases. So that if you study, because tax law is so confusing,
right.
It's the only place where you get that instruction. But we didn't even get that instruction from the judge. He would not instruct the jury that if you find the defendant was in good faith and made his and had a good faith misunderstanding of the law, that you'll find him not guilty. I was able to argue that, but because it wasn't in the instruction to the jury, it undercut my credibility as a lawyer because it wasn't in the instructions, and I couldn't say, you know, the judge has instructed you on that. It just sounded like a lawyer's argument.
I'm going to take one last minute of your time. I had a call after I talked to Bob Schultz from We the People last week, and a gentleman by the name of Ray said, look, I haven't paid taxes since 1976. IRS has investigated me. They come, they say they're going to seize my property every 4 or 5 years, and then they end up walking away. And they sat me down one year, several years ago, and said, sign, you know, all you have to do is just sign your taxes, and this thing will go away. And he says, as long as I can sign it by saying, signed under duress. And he said the IRS agent says, well, we can't allow that because it's got to be a voluntary tax. If you sign it that way, it makes it involuntary and it makes it illegal. And he says, my point exactly, I'm not voluntarily giving you anything, and he's never paid taxes. If you were his attorney, would you say, hey, that was the way to go, or is that just too weird of a land to even figure out right now?
Well, I haven't researched that particular issue. I know there's a Tenth Circuit case that indicates that it has to be voluntary to be legitimate and to be viable. So I think that what he told you or the story you've heard is probably accurate and with regard to the IRS's position as well. But the IRS used to have on their own website, and we've got a copy of it, to try to put into evidence that the Social Security Act does not require a person to have a Social Security number to live and work in the United States. nor does it require a Social Security number simply for the purpose of having one, but they've removed that from their website.
This one is not going away. I want to stay in touch with you on this, Arch McCall, because you're going to appeal, and I would imagine this time around you're going to try and get some of that evidence into evidence. By the way, it is on appeal right now, but he has been convicted. He could go to jail for the rest of his life, right?
He could go to jail for many years, and he's almost 60 years old, so you know he's in the winter of his life, so to speak. And he hasn't actually, the case is actually not on appeal yet, and it can't be until he is sentenced, and that won't happen until April.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, he stays in jail all the while.
Correct.
Unbelievable. I'm going to stay in touch with you. Thank you for the firsthand information, Arch.
You're so welcome.
Appreciate it. This is Ann Carla Mornings, Talk Radio 570 KLIF. Arch McCall on the Richard Simkinen case. Let me tell you, I don't know enough about this do I tax, do I not tax stuff to enter into a conversation here. I bring these guys on, they tell me what they know. I'm researching it. After Bob Schultz was on the show last week, I'm researching it. I pay taxes every year. Lots of them. I would love to know the answer to this one. Paul O'Neill coming up next. That guy is a real loyal player, isn't he? I'll let him tell you in his own words. Talk Radio 570 KLIF. Traffic, Tim Vasquez.